Well, we're glad you're here today. We're in week three of our Perfect Facebook family. And one of the things we've talked about is the fact that it's X through on the word perfect in Facebook because none of us have perfect families. We put our best look and our best foot forward on our Facebook pages, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you don't want to like videotape you and your kids having a knockdown, drag out argument and putting it on there. That's just not healthy. But at the same time, we've got to realize that none of us are perfect. And yet we can have loving, godly, and healthy families. And that's what we want to move towards. We want to get to that place where we can have that as a family. Now, when I do this sermon, I'm not just talking about family like husband, wife, and two kids. I'm talking about family with your parents, having relationships with your siblings, having the relationships with the family of God. And we're going to talk about that today and looking at how all that weaves together to be a healthy family that provides support, encouragement, strength for everyone in this room. And so if you got your Bibles, go ahead and open them to Ephesians chapter 6, page 980 of the Burgundy Bible. Now, when I first put this sermon series together, I was thinking it was going to be more like a practical how-to for how to have better relationship with parents and siblings. And then in praying through it and talking with some folks, feel like it needed to be more like a 30,000-foot view of as families and as individuals, how can we have healthier families overall? Extended families, close families, how can we do that? So today we're going to start with this passage that talks about spiritual warfare. Because I find that conflict is real in whatever family you're in. I've never met a family that didn't have to deal with conflict. And oftentimes what happens, we get in conflict, and instead of it staying arguing about the issue that we're experiencing, it gets personal, right? It starts out with, hey, can you put the dishes in the dishwasher? And then the other person says, of course, I'm glad to. And the other one says, oh, and by the way, this time can you put the spoons ladle up? And the other person goes, well, I've always put them ladled down because that's the way my parents did it. Well, we're not living with your parents anymore. Put them ladle up. That's the right way to do it. Really? So you're saying my parents are wrong. I'm saying you're just like your mom. Oh, yeah, well, you're just like your dad. And all of a sudden, the dishwasher discussion goes ballistic, right? And we begin to focus not on the issue, but trying to demonize the person that we're discussing the issue with. And so the goal of this is to help us discover who our enemy is and how to do battle in such a way that our families can walk through conflict because we're not seeing each other as the enemy, but we're praying through, we're reading through, we're understanding the enemy that we battle against, and we find hope through Christ. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask God to speak to us this morning. Lord, I thank you this morning because I really believe that there are so many folks that are spiritually defeated. God, we know what your word says sometimes, but we just don't live it all out, and the devil gets a foothold, and then we take it out on each other. And I pray today, Lord, that you'd allow me to just share your word in such a way that we'd all walk out of it going, whoa, that makes more sense. And if we'll trust in you and walk the way that you've led us to walk instead of in our own selfishness, Lord, that we can have some breakthroughs with our parents, with our siblings, with our children, and our spouse. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you got Ephesians 6 there. Now, this is commonly referred to as the spiritual warfare passage because Ephesians 6 talks about these tools, these weapons that we have for spiritual warfare. And Ephesians 6, we're going to start in verse 10 and read through 12 to start with. Paul says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So Paul is writing this final word of encouragement to them. He's trying to encourage them to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now, let me tell you, if you try to do battle on your own, you can't win. You need the power of God. You know, the old expression that I grew up with was pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. What happens when those bootstraps are broke, right? What happens when your arms are too tired to pull them up by yourself? We need a team. We need a family. We need other people surrounding us to give us strength, and we need the power of the Lord. And that's what it says here. He says, in the Lord and in His mighty power. God has all power on heaven and earth. He has defeated Satan already. And yet too many times we walk around in defeat in our sin, our bitterness, our anger, because we're not leaning into God for His help and His strength. So Paul's giving them some tools here to help them understand. And the first thing he lets them know is that evil is real and that the devil is real. Okay? And matter of fact, he goes on, he lists four different categories. He says, not fighting against flesh and blood, but evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, mighty powers in the dark world, and evil spirits in the heavenly places. Now, I've heard some people try to make this out to be like there's different legions and different levels of spiritual warfare and different levels of demons and different levels of attack that the devil puts on you. I don't know. All I know is it looks pretty bad to me. Like, the devil is real, and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, when I talk to folks about this, oftentimes they wind up on one or two ends of the spectrum. There are those over here that would say that there is no devil, that he doesn't do anything, that there's no such thing, there's no spiritual world. And there are those over here who blame the devil for everything. As one comedian used to say, the devil made me do it. Whatever it is, the devil made me do it. And I tend to not capitalize the word devil just because I don't want to give him any more credit than he deserves. So where is the truth on that spectrum? Well, I believe it's in the middle, right? It's like the devil is real, but I'm not going to blame the devil for everything. Sometimes it's my own poor decisions. The little text at the very beginning is a great example. 2 years ago, I got to travel to Florida for a church planters conference. Took other church planters with me. We drove my van, and I did most of the driving. We got there and had a great time. And the third day, I think it was, we'd gone to this red light every day, and it took forever. You know, like being on Jackson, you know what I'm saying? It's like that red light that you got to wait like 7 minutes to get through. And this one was quick in the fact that it didn't give you much time. So we had sat through at least three red lights, maybe four, in this turning lane. And the light went green, and everybody goes that can go, and then they cut it off. And then there were three vehicles, and we had the green light going both ways, right? So I'm thinking, okay, three vehicles. If one of these guys makes it early, I've got a shot at it, right? You ever strategize like that on Jackson? Yeah. So I'm strategizing, but it didn't work because nobody made it in the green. So then it turns yellow, and the first guy, of course, he's got to make it. He's in the middle of the intersection. Second guy chances it. He goes. I punched it. I was like, you know what? I am not waiting through another light. And I punched it. I went around. You know they got cameras in Florida? They got these cameras at red lights and stuff. And so about a month and a half later, I got this nice thank you letter from Florida. And they wanted to thank me for enjoying their beautiful state. And they sent me this letter and this opportunity to donate to their traffic fund for $180. Now, I kept, because it was a camera and we swapped drivers, I kept trying to tell everybody that we couldn't really identify the driver in the front. But they all knew it was me. They all knew it was me. And so I could have at that point said, you know what, it was the devil. Here I was down in Florida trying to do something great for Jesus, and he's trying to thwart me. He's trying to throw something to make me angry. It's all his fault because he didn't want me to get encouraged in the Lord. But the truth was I was impatient. I did not want to wait through another red light. It was my fault. I couldn't blame anybody else. Okay? So in your journey of faith, you need to know that the devil is real. Paul talks about him. Jesus talks about him. We're going to talk about a battle that Christ had with him in Matthew 4 in a little bit. Peter writes about him. Matter of fact, Peter in 1 Peter 5:8. Let me just read that. We'll come back to it in a minute. But Peter says this, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm then and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. So the devil's real. That's the first point in your listening guide. You got that? There is an enemy that wants to destroy you and your family. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. And we've got to stand in the strong power of the Lord. Now, these ideas of spiritual realms, here's what I know. I've never seen an angel, but the Bible tells me that all the children have guardian angels. I've never seen God, but I know that he exists. And so the fact that the Bible tells me that there are also spiritual forces of evil, the devil and his demons, I believe that they are true. Now, I don't want to go overboard and look for the devil under every rock and think of every new president as the Antichrist and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, you do need to know that we have an enemy. The devil wants to destroy our families. He wants to put you at odds with your parents. He wants to put you at odds with your siblings, with your children. I was talking to a couple after the first service, and they said, "Man, I really thank you for this sermon." They said, "Because, you know, our kids are all grown. And it's like we're not worried about changing diapers anymore, but we're still trying to help them through life." And so realizing that the enemy is not your teenager, the enemy is not your parent teenagers, the enemy is the devil. And he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So take a moment right now, turn to a family member if you got one with you, and say, "I am not your enemy." Okay? All right, it's true. They are not your enemy. Okay? All right. Now, the enemy is the devil, and he wants to destroy your family. And you may be a single person, and you need to know he wants to destroy you so he can destroy your future family, your parents, your children. He wants to destroy you. The devil's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And just by the fact that you're here today, you're close to the top of his list because you're here today trying to grow closer to God. So therefore, that makes you an even bigger target. So the devil's out there. He wants to tempt you with sin. He wants to send trouble your way. He wants to put doubts in your mind. He wants to discourage you in your life situation. He will use anything at his disposal to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his goal. That's his M.O. Now, in 1 Peter 5:8 that I just read, he compares it to a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I got the privilege this last year, my wife and I, to go to Kenya for a little bit of time, and we got to spend a day and a half on a wildlife reserve. And, I mean, they've got thousands of acres, and these animals are just doing life, and they've come to ignore the spectators that are there. So we're sitting in this big Jeep, and they came upon three lions that were hunting a herd of water buffalo. Now, this was like National Geographic stuff, right? And we're all excited. We're watching. And they have techniques, right? So they are following the water buffalo. There's a herd of about 100 water buffalo. And they're following behind the herd of water buffalo, waiting for the stragglers, waiting for the ones that get out of the herd so they'll be easy pickings. And so the water buffalo would move, and you see the lions, they'd crawl in the thick grass, and they'd move with them, and just slowly but surely, the water buffalo would move, the lions would move. And they're just waiting for the ones to step out of the protection of the herd. And I think it's the same way in the church. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and the easy prey are those who do not have encouragers in faith in their life. When you step out of church, when you step out of having people that see you and pray for you and care for you, then you're making yourself more vulnerable to the enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He's looking for the weak one, the one that is not in fellowship with other believers, the one that's struggling with doubt. He's looking to destroy you. Now, what was unique, and the guy that was with us, our guide, said he'd only seen this once before, was that as these water buffalo were continuing to move and the lions were continuing to track them, at some point, they got tired of those lions. And all at once, they turned and rushed and charged the lions. There's like 100 water buffalo charging these three lions, and they just ran straight at them. And the lions dispersed and left and ran. And they're talking about how the king of the jungle never runs. And so the guide was very surprised. He's like, "You saw something almost nobody ever sees. The water buffaloes went on the offensive. And for the sake of their children, for the sake of their senior adults, they decided to take the battle to the lions. And because they stayed together, the lions had to flee." You see, the devil's nothing but a big bully. And he wants you to think that he's more powerful than you. And he's right. But what you need to know is you're more powerful than he is walking with Christ. Once you've given your life to Christ, God gives you weapons. He gives you protection. He wants you to lean on his power. If you try to do it on your own, I believe you'll lose. Just like one water buffalo trying to attack one lion, the water buffalo is going to lose. We do it as a team. We do it as a family. And that's why the family is so important. So then go on to the next verse here. Verse 13 to 17. He says, "Therefore, put on every piece." If you got your Bibles, underline that word, every. Not one or two, every piece. "Every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the devil." Excuse me, resist the enemy in the time of evil. "Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now, we could spend 6 weeks on this easy to dissect each one. We've done that in the past, but just didn't feel led to today. But I wanted to hit it. I wanted to go over it so that you could kind of understand the pieces that are there so that we can apply it to our lives, okay? So I'm going to draw a picture. I called my friends, my pastor friends, and asked them if anybody had like a live statue or anything, and one of them did, but he was actually preaching through this. So Paul Ramsey, his name, is a good guy, loves the Lord over it. Church on the Hill, but he was in the midst of it, so I couldn't borrow his. So I'm going to draw you this this warrior here. So there you go, okay? So this is your spiritual warrior, and we've got to be prepared, right? So I did a frown on him the first service because I thought I'd make him look tough. My wife's like, "No, you can't have an unhappy guy." I said, okay. So we got the happy guy this time, right? So the first thing is the belt of truth. Got to have the belt of truth. What does the belt do? The belt holds up the weapon, and it holds up the pants, right? Pants on the ground, pants on the ground. You get the idea, right? Right? Funny story. True story. Did y'all see the story of the guy that robbed the store? And he had, you know, had his baggy pants on, and he tried to escape, and he literally fell over, and the cops just arrested him. Anyway. You got to have a belt, right? You got to have a belt holding up the pants so they don't fall on the ground. But the belt is truth, okay? Where's your integrity? Where's your integrity? You see, your faith in Christ, your example of Christ, really does hinge so much on you being a man or woman of truth. Speaking honesty, integrity, honoring your word and what you say, keeping your word no matter the cost. You need to have the belt of truth. Then you got to have the feet shod with the preparedness of the gospel. Yeah, check that. Mm-hmm. He's lucky to have those shoes. The peace that comes from the gospel. Here's what I tell you. If you're walking with Jesus each day, he gives you a peace that is noticeable in the world, a peace that others can see, a peace that the devil can't penetrate. When you are walking in truth and you're walking in peace, the devil now has two of his weapons taken away, stress and discouragement and deceit. And so what are you going to do? Well, as we walk with Christ, we walk in this peace. It gives us a tool, a preparedness against the enemy himself. Now, next we have the breastplate of righteousness. So that's kind of like that. There we go. We'll call that the breastplate of righteousness. Okay. So, are you mocking me? I heard somebody mock. This is like top stuff here. Okay. So, the breastplate, what does it protect? Protects the heart, right? I don't think it's a coincidence that he used the phrase breastplate of righteousness, because righteousness protects your heart. Let's look at this issue of God's plan for relationships, because relationships are what hurts the heart, right? Broken relationships. I had some good advice given to me when I was young and single. They said, Steve, you need to realize every relationship ends up in one or two ways, marriage or breakup. So don't just date for fun. Realize every relationship ends up in marriage or breakup. Breakups hurt. They hurt the heart. They're painful. Marriage is for life. So make sure you don't just date for fun. I was like, wow, that was a heavy statement. And so this breastplate of righteousness is to protect the heart. This is why it's so important for you to be living in purity in all your relationships. Flee from sexual immorality is what the Bible says. Do not walk in that. But in our culture, we are submerged in it. Almost every show you want to watch that's targeting adults has something sexually immoral in it. Pornography is rampant today. Affairs are rampant today. Sex before marriage has become almost a given. So few are willing to say they will wait until marriage. But this is what protects your heart. When you choose to be righteous, to live in a right life with God and with others, it will protect your heart. And so I ask you, will you put on the breastplate of righteousness? That will protect you from the evil one. And then we have the helmet of salvation, right? There we go. Okay, there we go. All right, anyway, helmet of salvation. You got to protect the mind. You got to protect the mind. And having faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit, when you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you to protect you. But you have to have salvation. It's the helmet of salvation. Salvation protects you from the lies of the enemy. When the enemy comes in and tries to tell you, oh, you're not really saved. You're not good enough to be a Christian. Why do you even go to church? It doesn't help. Does he not throw that stuff into your mind? And that's when I have to go back to the Word of God and go, no, I gave my life to Jesus. It says in the Bible, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I am bought by the blood of Jesus. I am forgiven. And it protects your mind when you realize that God, he saved you and he's there to protect you. Well, then the next one we got is the shield of faith, right? There we go. All right, yeah. Now, what's interesting, in the time of the Roman Empire, they would have understood what these centurions looked like because they would have been stationed in every large city. And this letter was written to the Ephesians, right, which was a large city. Now, they would have seen these garrisons travel through their city in formation. And they had these huge shields. Technically, that's not the kind of shield they had. If you see it, most of the time it's this big shape, more like that. Very heavy. And it's to protect you against the arrows. The Romans perfected a move that would protect them from the initial attack of the arrows. If you ever watching the war movies from those times, you'll know that the first attack is the long-range archers. They'll send a slew of angels to attack whoever's the enemy is. And so they had perfected a way that they would latch arms together, put the shields up, and when the arrows came, not a soul would be lost. Well, that was life-changing for battle because they could reject the initial attack. And what I'd say to you, this is the protection is faith. Your faith in Christ will protect you from the mortal enemy that we have, the devil. Will protect you from his arrows of discouragement, depression, bitterness. When you have faith in Christ, then you begin to live like him. You begin to trust what he says, and you walk in his power, not yours. And again, that's the key. You got to walk in His power and not yours. And so this protection that we have here goes with us each day as our faith gets us through the hard times. When you lose your job, who's praying for you? When you're having a hard time in your family with your mom, your dad, you're having to decide, what do you do about their long-term care? Do you put them in a nursing home? Is that not one of the most gut-wrenching decisions you ever make? How do you make that decision? It's all got to come from your faith in Christ. As I lean into Christ in those decisions, I'm like, okay, God, I don't know the answer. I don't know how to continue to parent my son when he's 19 years old and he's 5,000 miles away. Lord, I need your faith for him as well. And I need faith to trust that you can handle this problem. And God can. Well, those are the defensive weapons. Those are the things that we need to have in our life and to protect us. Then he also tells us, and that's the third thing, God's word and prayer are our weapons against Satan. I decided to talk about God's word God's word this week and prayer next week. So next week, as you come back, I hope you will. We're going to talk about prayer and the importance of prayer in our faith. But today, God's word, here's what he says about it. He says, put on the salvation as a helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, the sword is the offensive weapon, right? There we go. Okay. So it looks more like a toothpick, doesn't it? Okay, sorry. The sword is the offensive weapon. Now, part of the power of the Roman Empire was the fact that they had equipped their men with swords. And oftentimes, as they went into new places, those that they opposed had nothing more than clubs. And so the steel was a great breakthrough in power. And so all the people would know that. They wouldn't have known that the offensive weapon was the sword. And so Paul is trying to give them this visual imagery to help them understand how to win the battle against the devil. So he says, listen, guys, the Bible is your sword. Okay? Knowing the Bible is your offensive weapon. This is how you do battle against the devil. Flip over to Matthew 4. Matthew 4, Jesus is going to give us the textbook approach when the devil comes to you with temptation. I'm confident in this room, everybody's been tempted by the devil. There's three temptations he gives them in Matthew 4, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And in each one of these temptations, Jesus gives us the same answer, gives the devil the same answer. He uses the same tool for victory. So Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Here's what it says. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil went away, and the angels came and took care of Jesus. What did he use each time to do battle? The Word of God, Scripture. Each time, he quoted Scripture. Now, if you don't know the Scripture, then you don't have the weapon. You may still be protected by your faith, by truth, by your salvation, but you can't vanquish the enemy. And if you want to have a healthy, godly, loving family, you've got to be able to vanquish the enemy in your children's life, in your parents' life, in your siblings' life. I have learned that Steve Taboo's wisdom only goes about that far. And so when I'm trying to talk to people and share wisdom, if I share with them the Word of God, that changes lives. Because the Word of God is truth. It doesn't change. And also, I actually quote verses out loud to the devil. When I get tempted, Galatians 5:16, write that one down. It's one of my favorite. If you want to memorize a great first verse, Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Simple verse, but when I get tempted, if I could quote that verse, man, the devil just begins to flee for me. Because I go, you know what? I don't have to fall into temptation. I have victory. If I walk in the Spirit, I won't fulfill that lust of the flesh. And I'll actually say it out loud. I mean, like if you're ever around me and I start quoting scripture out loud, it's because I'm doing battle of some sort. Maybe it's not temptation. Maybe it's encouragement, you know. Maybe it's cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Maybe you're struggling with depression. You need to memorize some verses that talk about God's love, his mercy, his grace for you, and quote them. Say them out loud. Put them on your mirror. Put them wherever you can. I've got a book called God's Promises for Your Every Need. You can pick this up probably at Walmart. I know you can pick them up at Lifeway. They're only like $4 or $5 at the most. And it's divided into things that you might wrestle with. This is a great way to pray out loud or to quote scripture out loud when you're going through something. Let's say, for example, let's just pick one. Here you go. You're struggling with guidance. Here you go. Guide for life. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So let's say, any seniors in here, right? Which way are you going, guys? Do you know what you're going to do after graduation? Well, if you'll let the word of God be a light unto your feet and a lamp unto your path, then you'll have a direction, right? How about this? Let's see what another one. Security. You're losing your job, concerned about what you're going to do in the future. Here's some scripture on that. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Does that not fire you up? It's like, you know what? I might be losing a job, but nothing can separate me from God's love. I might have just lost my mentor and my hero to death, but nothing can separate me from the love of God. I can still lean on him. He is still faithful. He is still proven trustworthy and true. But the problem is, especially in our faith, we in America own more Bibles per person than any other country in the world by far. The Bible's the number one selling book of all time in the world. But many of us, instead of having a sword, we've got a plastic butter knife, right? We haven't got the Word of God in our mind and our heart, and we've got a plastic butter knife. Now, you could do some damage with this, like, I don't know, cut off a hangnail or something, maybe. But that's about it, right? If you have a true enemy, you can't win a battle with a plastic butter knife. And so, there went that light. So assuming that this is your nemesis, right? If you have a watermelon, we'll let that represent evil, the devil, right? And if you're trying to cut this with a knife, I am getting a little bit of juice there, but it's going to take a long time. Whereas if we take the sword and we want to do some damage, we take the sword, the word of the God, and it's gone. Now, what I would say to you is too many times we take the plastic butter knife and we go, well, I'm a good guy. I know John 3:16. I know I read my Bible one time. Listen, we've got to have the Word of God in our life every day. So when the devil attacks, we've got the sword on our hip. When the enemy comes, we're ready. We know what's happening. When the enemy tries to tempt us and pull us away, we could quote scripture. When the enemy tries to discourage us and tells we're not saved, we could quote passages that remind us of our salvation and the promises of God. When we feel like we are less than appropriate and less than good enough for God, we could quote the fact that His love is for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. When we get defeated because we've sinned again, the same sin that we've done 10,000 times, and we're going, there's no hope for me. I will never get victory over this. And we go back to where Peter is asking Jesus how many times we should forgive, and he says, not seven times, Peter, but 70 times seven. And we remember the grace of God, the mercy of God. And we don't pick ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We let the Lord lift us up out of the muck and the mire and the dirt and the slime and the sin. And He puts our feet on solid ground. But we've got to have the sword. We've got to have the Word of God in our life. Now, my invitation is this today. I'm confident that in this room, that there are those that are, you're here today, and one of these is speaking to you. Maybe it's the shield of faith that's got a couple of holes in it. Maybe it's the breastplate of righteousness. Maybe there's some things in your life that you've got a lot of chinks in your armor, a lot of openings that you need to confess before God today. Maybe it's the peace. Maybe you're trying to carry all the weight of the world on yourself and you're not trusting God. Maybe it's the belt of truth and you've not been a person of integrity and you tried to lie and wrangle your way out of business deals just to stay ahead. And maybe that's what you need to confess today. Or maybe it's the fact that the Word of God is not important to you. That you don't have an offensive weapon. And if that's the case, you will continue to be defeated in your sin without the Word of God. And maybe you just need to make a commitment today. You know what? I'm just going to start reading a chapter a day. Start with the book of Matthew. A couple of chapters are those begat, but move fast through those, and then it gets to be all about Jesus. And start reading a chapter a day, and get the Word of God in your mind and in your heart so that you know how to live each day. But maybe it's the helmet of salvation. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you've heard about Jesus. Maybe you believe that there's a God out there somewhere, but maybe you've never said, you know what? I want to give my life to Jesus. He is the only one that can change your heart and your life. When you give your life to Christ, says the Holy Spirit comes to live within us and gives us the power over darkness. I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me. If you're here today and you need to confess something before Jesus, I invite you to pray that now. Just get right with the Lord, whatever that might be. But if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you just walked away to the point that you're not even sure if your faith would be recognizable by anybody else, I want to give you a chance to pray and give your life to Him 100%. The Bible says if we confess that Christ is Lord and believe in our heart that God's raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. Do you believe that today? If so, then as I lead us in this prayer, you just pray this prayer to the Lord and to yourself following after me. Dear God, today I do believe in Jesus Christ. Today I do confess that I have sinned. Lord, I want to turn away from that and turn to You. Lord, I want the grace that I saw on that texting video that we saw. Lord, I want Your love. And I want that for our whole family. So today I trust in You with all my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.